Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNP SE regarding the presentation of the Q1 results 2021. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for an operator assistance. May I now hand over to Mr. Marx, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, operator. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our conference call on the Q1 2021 results. I hope you all had the chance to see the information we published this morning, where we confirmed our preliminary figures we gave you with the publication of our full-year results last week. In this call, we want to give you some more insights into our Q1 numbers and into the overall business developments. For that, we have prepared a presentation, which you can also find on our website under the section Investor Relations. As you're used to, we have as our speakers today, our CFO, Heiner Dieffenbach, as well as our CEO, Michael Eberhardt, to guide you through the presentation. With that being said, I would like to hand over to you, Michael.
Christoph, thanks a lot, and welcome also from my side. My name is Michael Eberhardt. I'm the CEO of SNP. If you go to page number two, I would like to give you a short overview about the overall status, what did we achieve in Q1. Heiner will take you through all the financials, and then we go together through the outlook, and we will have at the end, hopefully enough time for question and answers. If you go to page number three, let me just introduce the Q1 main topics. Overall, I would say this was a very mixed result, what we delivered in Q1. On the revenue side, we are down by 3.8%, most likely driven by a hit in our service business, where we had a very weak January with very low utilization in some specific industries. Heiner will give you afterwards a more detailed industry view, but this was very much caused by project delays, by projects which we signed, but the customer did not start the project because he was on short-time work by 80%, 90%, and the hit was very much in the manufacturing industry and in the automotive area. Our EBIT improved, let's say, by 30%, given on the result was coming out from two things. One was a better cost discipline, and the other one was the one-month consolidation of our EXA AG. At the same time, I need to say, I think we will see good EBIT improvements going forward. We all have known that we have invested in something like 70-80 people during the course of 2019 and beginning of 2020, where we agreed together that we will not hire the people and fire the people again after COVID showed up in the market. We will keep the people, we will train the people, and we believe in the strong growth after COVID. What I see now in Q2, I think we see utilization is good improvement, improving in all regions. We see a good pipeline, and I'm pretty sure that our EBIT results will be different in Q2 already and going forward. Our order entry in Q1 was up 10.1%. This is, let's say, good specific when we reconsider that the Q1 2020 was not hit in our region, most likely by COVID, but Q1 2021 was fully hit by COVID. With the increased EBIT, with the increased order entry, we are on the track first to increase our order backlog by 26%. Second, we see that our offerings are very well adapted by our customer. We still have one challenge, which I repeat again, is our partner business. We see an increased interest, we see an increased growth of pipeline, but the pipeline conversion to order entry is still not where it should be. Our guidance for the rest of the year will be confirmed or is confirmed. We still see that we can achieve this guidance. We have, as I said, a strong partner pipeline. This is now needs now focus to get it converted, and we had a lot of very good wins with big customers around the globe. We have signed deals with BMW, Siemens, ABB, Supermercados, but also, for example, with Red Bull and a lot of others. So I think the who is on our account list, and that this really makes us proud. And then we have some delay on our divestiture on the Polish subsidiary, but this is not not under risk. We have total agreement. This was just to find the right way to do this divestiture. Also, let's say, with the right approach so that we don't pay unnecessary high taxes. If we go to the page number four, these are the logos we have where we signed deals with. We have decided here only to show the different regions. So we talk only about the continents, Europe, Americas, and JPEG, but you could see in all areas we signed new deals. We signed the deals with new customers, for example, and also with existing customers. Siemens, ABB, and BMW are, let's say, long-term customers. Red Bull is a new account. Eurocash is a new account. Dekra is, let's say, something I think we made years ago, a project, but now we restarted here. You see, in the Americas, we do a good business with Deloitte, with DXT Technology, which are both partners from us, but also with direct customers on the other side. And then in JPEG, a very good deal was our business with Acclimation. I think the deal what we did with Tata Consulting, it was a really good deal. And we have, let's say, significantly amount of small deals, which are really good door openers to manage the future growth. So, as I said before, the way and the services and our offering on the software side is well accepted by the customer and also by the partner. We see the momentum is increasing day by day, so that we have a good line of sight to meet or to overachieve our guidance for 2021. Page number five, we went through this in a similar way for our year-end result. So Central Europe down 1% in overall with a revenue of 17 million. You see that the software, you see that 31% is software, 69% is services. Eastern Europe, it's more our traditional business. Part of this will be sold, which is the Polish, the Eastern Europe business. But the Middle East business will be attached to JPEG in the future. So they are 6 million in size. Good. They had a good run in order entry, but also on the revenue side. Software, this is not really, let's say, only our transformation software. This is software. They do a lot of SAP reselling, the maintenance for this part, and 76% is service. Most of the service is directly with end customers, but we also have 60 people, 70 people in the digital transformation center. LATAM, they really had a very tough economical situation, but we had a couple of very good wins in both areas, in transformation and non-transformational business. You see also up by 25%. That means that it's even, that's also interesting, the normal application management business, application operation business, for sure will not have a hit. This is also demonstrates that one of the things what we need to solve going forward is we need to get more recurring revenue, because when you are recurring, a crisis or a challenge like COVID will not hit you immediately. In the project-based business, you are much more hit by, let's say, one-time impacts or by a crisis. And that's one learning. That beside our strategy, the focus on recurring revenue will need to be increased going forward. US was weak on the revenue side, but okay on the order entry side, only 2.8 million revenue, significantly down. The good thing is they sell much more via partners. That means they see now exactly the challenge what we also have in Central Europe, what we also see in UK or in JPEG, that the partners business is let's say, developing. But the conversion from pipeline to order entry is still lagging behind. And that is the result in the U.S. The pipeline is good. It's better than ever before. We see a really increased number of deals, also of signings, but this takes some time to see it on the revenue side. JPEG, same situation like the U.S., but U.S. is faster must-win because I think the success of S&P depends very much on Central Europe on the one side and the US on the other side. JPEG and LATAM and UK need to improve, need to, let's say, perform in an okay way, but they will not make the big difference. The biggest SAP market, our biggest focus areas are Central Europe and the US. So then UK is very small, you see it, with, and they had a very catastrophic Q1 given by the COVID situation in UK. This was dramatic, and also most of the customers stopped, let's say, most of the processes. We had a couple of projects in Rolls-Royce, for example, which was totally stopped with BP, totally stopped. But we see now, again, reopening in Q2. So end of April, March was already a much better month. Our problem was January and the first 2 weeks of February. It was like a closed shop in a lot of customer situations. So if we go to page number six, as I said before, our partner business is not under risk. This will come and this deploys, and I see every day what we approve and how we engage. We also had a couple of learnings on our side. We signed this deal with Microsoft as the preferred partnership for this cloud move for Microsoft Azure. We have a good partnership, first partnership in LATAM announced. Rackspace, for example, is one of the strongest system integrator for cloud migration. They started a technology partnership with us. And with Delaware, we have a very good partnership now, specific for the French-speaking market. Our revenue with partners are increasing. So you see 50% increase, but the numbers are very low. If you look to the overall revenue, 15% of the group revenue is partner revenue. So it is increasing, but you see, the number is still not... let's say where it should be. Our order entry with partners is up by 20%. That means we see that our idea is will be executed, but it really took more time compared to what we have originally expected. I think I said this several times. We believe that in Q2 we will see better results, much better results than in Q3. When I look to the pipeline, the maturity of the pipeline, what do we have in which sales stage? We should see a good Q2, and we should see hopefully a fantastic Q3 with our partner business on this side. So this is our partner network. The challenge is not that we cannot convince partner to work closely with us. Independent, you can just pick one name on this slide. They are all convinced that our Crystal Bridge, our software-based approach, our asset-based consulting-based business is the right way, specific when it comes to complex data transformation areas. The challenge is more the enablement and to get, to be the one-stop shopping, to be the partner for all the different scenarios, to be the partner also in a greenfield and in a brownfield area. And we made some improvements. Some partners are using us in the meantime also for greenfield projects, because greenfield or bluefield or brownfield is more the way, the methodology of how you transform your business in terms of process adaptations, process improvements, this kind of things. What we deliver is our selective data transformation area. And it's also better to take not only open items in a greenfield approach, but selective data, historical data in your greenfield approach, so that you can use the advantage of S4 from day one. And you don't need to wait, at least the first 15 months before you can compare against within the system, real time, with the advantages of S/4HANA, before you end up, if you don't move historical data, then you need to have a second reporting engine, which is then maybe a parallel BV system or a parallel, something you use like a data lake, and you do your reporting with Tableau or something else. I think there's a lot of reason to do a selective data transformation in all scenarios. This is something we learned. We changed the way how we sell it, and we get very positive feedback the last 2 months in different customer situations where partners decided to use Crystal Bridge also, even if they are going greenfield or brownfield. And then if I go to page number eight, our pipeline is, as I said, improving on both sides. On the partner channel, you see we increased the pipeline by 16%, but at the same way we changed the way how we report it. So we are totally consequent that we are not accepting any duplication. So if we do now, if we have the situation that we have one opportunity where we have where we serve the opportunity with two different partners, there will be only one parent opportunity. This was without this, let's say, one-time cleaning, our pipeline development would be more in the size of 30-35% growth. But 16% is now the real one because we have taken out a couple of opportunities because we had the same end customer with two, sometimes even with three partners engaged. Also, the direct sales, we slightly improved. We had a very good Q1 order entry. So this is, let's say, is taken away from the pipeline for sure. I think pipeline is for 2021 not the biggest problem. Pipeline in Q2 is a little bit weak. Q3 looks very good. Q4 looks very good. Q1 was good. Q2 is now focus. We still believe we will grow on the pipeline side, but there was some weakness compared to the coverage is not as good as it was in Q1, but it's even better when we compare than to Q3 is better than Q1, much better than Q1, and Q4 is again much better than Q3. So it is not a long term. I think I don't know what happens in Q2, why we have let's say not 150% coverage, but we still have 6 weeks to go to make this happen. And then the regional split is what you see, what I said before, dominantly from the European area, really good development in the Americas. JPEG is going sideways. They had a lot of, let's say, cleaning up. And then the rest of the world is not really so important for us in terms of growing the top line. So page number 9, we had some headcount hirement, as I said before. So we are beside EXA, and EXA is, let's say, something we should consider outside of this one. But we hired most people in Q1 in R&D and in sales and marketing. I think we are now on the track to meet. We have the cost now in the organization to meet our revenue, our planned budget revenue and our guided revenue. So that means I do not see a lot of additional hires now for Q2 and Q3 and Q4. That is good. This really helps us going forward. When you look, let's say, how we are distributed on the right side, we have 50% of our people are in the consulting business. We have 12% in sales and marketing. And then we have 11% in R&D, and we have 26% in sales operation. We have a lot of students, for example, when it comes to our internal IT, or in some also in sales, we have some students, and then in the administration area. So Heiner takes care that we get the 26% more specific to what do we need to attach to G&A, and what should be attached to sales. We do not say that we have 26% of our population in G&A, but this needs to be cleared up, and we will present this going forward even more sharp towards the different business responsibilities. So, Heiner, I think with this, I give it over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, and hello, everybody, from my side, Heiner Diefenbach here. As promised last week, we would like to give you more insights around about the revenue split or order entry split by regions and segments, and also about cost ratios and order backlog development. Besides that, I would like to start on page 11 with the overview about our income statement. And please keep in mind that the last quarter last year was without any corona effects, and therefore we believe that a slight decrease of one million is a pretty good achievement. We have also unchanged personal expenses, and of course, because of reduced travel expenses, but also about the cost discipline we have in place, we were able to reduce other expenses by almost 4 million. And this will lead to an EBITDA of only negative 0.9 million, which is only half of EBITDA negative from last year. In the future, we will focus much more on EBITDA and less on EBIT figures. Reason for that is because of the acquisition of EXA. We will see, based on the purchase price accounting, we will see some amortization, and therefore I believe that EBITDA is probably a better figure to look at. Nevertheless, we will, of course, keep guiding and also reporting our EBIT figure, and I can explain what is the amortization roundabout this. I would now like to skip to page 12 and have a look at our cost ratios. And I think this slide gives quite a good overview. You see the Q1 figures of last year and, of course, the Q1 figure of this year. And as a comparison, you have on the right side the total year 2020. So you see kind of a development that we keep investing, as Michael explained, in research and development and also in the sales arena. And, of course, we would like to be transparent that we reduce our G&A costs, and this is in Q1 based on 6%, and I think this is quite a good and solid performance on this. If we now have a look and see the split in the segments by service and software, we can have a look at the software side maybe first, and I'm on page 13. The revenue on the software side is reduced, as Michael already explained, by 8% down to 23.3. This is because we had a very low January and February, but picking up March, I would say. And as I said before, please keep in mind, this year we have the COVID effect, which we did not have last year. If I now have a look at page 14, and we're going to see at or have a closer look at the software, and I would like to remind you that the fiscal year 19, we had a 30 or one-third of our revenue were software. In fiscal year 20, it is up by 35%. And if you compare this quarter by quarter, so last year's quarter was at 26%. Software portion on our revenue stream, and now we are up to 29%, so almost 30%. And I think this underlines that we gonna keep going on the software side. We are also, as Michael explained, focused to improve our recurring revenue in this area. So we have, or we are happy to report that I would say 1 million of our revenue, roughly spoken, is really based on long-lasting, let's say, service or software support and software as a service. So I think this is the development in the right direction. And, and partner revenue and so on was already explained by Michael before that. And I think it's also based on the COVID situation, quite a good achievement to grow on the revenue software side compared to last year's quarter one. I would now like to jump on page 15, order entry and order backlog. We have an improved order entry by 10%, of which more than 30% is really coming in the software arena, 30% growth from 16.7 up to 22 million. And this reflects in the order backlog a situation that our order backlog is improved by almost 40% in the software area. And I think this is also, compared to last year's, a good and a solid fundament for our growth in the upcoming months or throughout this fiscal year. Maybe just to inform you that in our order backlog, roughly spoken, 1.5 million is coming from EXA. Okay, I would now like to jump on page number 16 and have a split of our order entry by region. And for fiscal year 21, we have seen JPEG and EMEA growing in order entry, and some let's say falling behind in Central Europe and the US. And now you can see that almost all regions are improving compared to last year's quarter one, except the UK. But I think because Michael has pointed out, especially Central Europe and the US, and I think in the US this is quite promising that we have here 80% more order entry compared to last year's Q1. The industry split, I have not prepared a slide this this time because numbers from my point of view are too small, but we will show you a slide again when we present the Q2 or half year figures. But it's pretty much unchanged percentage-wise compared to the fiscal year, full fiscal year. So our main industries are IT and consulting and manufacturing, and we still see growing areas like consumer goods and retail, and also in the pharma and healthcare. Now I would like to jump on page number 17. This is the reconciliation of our order backlog, quite a standard slide, which we will show you from last time onwards. Also, that you are able to reconcile order entry and revenue and backlog last period to backlog this period. We do have, of course, always foreign exchange effects, and we have presented here an order backlog from the EXA first consolidation. And then you see also some volume adjustments effects we will see also every quarter is, for example, this time positive. You can also identify negative figures. But overall, we have 134 million backlog, which is quite a solid fundament, as I just explained before. The balance sheet structure on page 18 is pretty much reflected, I would say, by two or three main items. One is in the cash arena. We took a loan of 20 million from the European Investment Bank. And, of course, the other one is in goodwill and intangible assets. You see the effects here pretty much driven by the EXA consolidation. Overall, our total assets went up by almost 35 million. And if you now have a look at page 19, this reflects in a lower own equity ratio, which went down from 42% down to 35%. This is pretty much because we have a extended balance sheet based on the EXA and, of course, the loss from last year and, of course, from the first quarter. These are the main driver for this. If you have a look at the total non-current liabilities, this is driven by the 20 million less the payment for the EXA effect on one hand. And if we jump now over to the cash flow statement, I received already some questions, where is the financing, where can we see the financing of the EXA purchase price? You can see that, of course, in the area investing cash flow. But when we acquired EXA, we also received a good cash situation, and therefore the net amount is not so significant that it will be shown over here. Cash flow is improved, of course, also compared to last year's first quarter. And I would like to close my remarks here and move over to the outlook on page 22. I think because it's not changed anything from last week's slide, I might ask Michael whether you want to add something to this, but this is no news on this.
No, nothing to add from my side.
Yeah, so then we can open up for questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Bernd Laux. The line is now open for you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. The question I have is related to the software revenues, which were up 8%, but inside that number, your report is explaining that the in-house developed software, the high value-added software, has been grown at a rate of 5%, but the third-party products at 15%. Is the explanation for the strong increase in the third-party software the EXA acquisition, or is that strong performance in Poland or somewhere else? And the second question is regarding the order entry. Within order entry, the SAP S/4HANA order entry was down 10% year-over-year. Can you explain why that part of the business has developed less favorable? Thank you.
Okay, Mike,
that's both for you.
I was not quite sure about the development in the software area on the second question, but when I start with the first question, it's really based on Poland and LATAM that we are kind of reselling SAP licenses.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about again about the second question.
Yeah, within order entry, in the report, you have stated that the SAP S/4HANA order entry has been down 10% quarter over year ago quarter. And is there any explanation? Was there a very strong order in the first quarter 2020? Or where does that relative weakness come from? Because SAP itself didn't experience any extended weakness in the first quarter.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of a statistical change. So 10% down is, I would say, less than a million. So one deal on the on one side or the other side makes this 10%. So therefore, I would not expect that there is kind of a development that we will see less S/4HANA revenues.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, that's maybe an area where Michael might be able to help, because we can see that or should be able to see this in our pipelines probably.
But yeah, I think you answered it right. On the other side, when I look to the market in total, and this is something I just was thinking about, how do we report this going forward? Because we have today, we have a lot of multiple scenario projects. So when you do an S4, we have very often attached to this, for example, a move to the cloud. Or we just approved this morning a deal which was a carve out and an S4 upgrade at the same time. So I'm, Christoph, I think we should take this as an option and say, oh, how can we report our order entry maybe better along the different scenarios? Honest spoken, I very much today I focus on all scenario, and when I look to the order entry, the pipeline, the good thing is all three major pillars, which is carve outs, which is S4, and which is the move to the cloud, are let's say really good to improving. The volumes in the move to the cloud are significantly lower, because these are in total are much shorter projects. Easier projects, so that you have a lot of deals where you have $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 revenue. When it comes to huge carve outs, or when it comes to business unit optimization, or let's say to S4s, our project size is more between 700,000 to up to 1.5-2 million in average. So That means volume-wise, we have a really, let's say, a very good business developing in all scenarios. The move to the cloud is let's say our business, which is our let's say best learning, because in this business we will be only successful if we get highly automated. All our efficiency, all our let's say our scaling capability should really pay off in this move to the cloud environment. Therefore, this move to the cloud is strategic, very important for us to also handle less complex environments. The S4 scenario is very much important for us to demonstrate how we can differentiate in complex environments with near zero downtimes, with let's say a lot of parallel projects, always time constraints, and working in a complex partner environment. So this is very. The good thing is all three pillars are running great. The challenge is they are very different how you win and how you need to engage.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is by Lukas Spang. The line is now open for you.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like to follow on the question about the order intake in the S4HANA business from Mr. Laux. So if the business around S4HANA was down by 10% in the order intake, and you mentioned the on the one hand the carve-out business and on the other hand the move to the cloud business, what was then stronger in Q1 that you and on a total base you increased your order intake?
We had a couple of very good. I would say, honest spoken, this kind of reporting in terms of scenarios, I need to double check. If this is so important for you as analysts, then we need to double check this. If all the deals are classified in 100% in the right way, so I need to double check this one, because from where I am engaged. And I look to our logos, Siemens, for example, if you go over to page number 4, when we look to Siemens, we do a lot of carve-outs, but in a lot of the carve-outs, the target environment will be an S4 environment. So we have a couple of areas, business unit optimization, carve-outs, where we moved an ECC system to an S4, but at the same time, we did a carve-out. So that's one part. ABB was a carve out, and we are now in discussion with the customer to do a big S4 project, which we have not signed so far. We engaged here together with Accenture, and this let's say what we have demonstrated here was let's say a second carve out part we did with ABB. Schwarz was a pure S4 HANA project, so this was Legal Digital. We did this S4 HANA upgrade to enable Legal to introduce the digital job, for example. BMW was, this deal is an S4 HANA upgrade. Merck was a TDO opportunity. Roche was a TDO opportunity, as a test data organizer, part of our Crystal Bridge. Red Bull is an S4 HANA upgrade. The other two, I do not know. DXT was both time was an S4 HANA upgrade. So I personally believe that, and this is something I need to double check, if we have classified all the order entries in the right way, because my feeling was that S4 is running pretty well. From a volume perspective, the two areas where we have the biggest deals is carve outs and S4. The number of deals which are the let's say the business which brings in the highest number of opportunities is for sure the move to the cloud. We have only, I think only under we, since we did the announcement with Microsoft, we have something like 60 new opportunities within a couple of weeks. And we just announced this partnership in this way. And now we see similar things with IBM. IBM is using our analytics, our analyze tool for all their cloud to the move, move to the IBM cloud opportunities. So I personally believe that the reporting in this area needs to be improved, because I don't know if you did it more on the finance side. I did not focus so much on the scenarios.
Yeah, but I think from from outside perspective, a lot of people look on the S/4HANA business because it's one of the main driver for most of
okay.
the people.
So let us double check this, and we will take care that we have the pipeline best reported in the future. So I personally believe this was not under the full focus so far.
Okay, great. And then, Dr. Diesenbach, you talked about the amortization from the EXA transaction. Can you give us a number? What do you expect for the complete year on the amortization side?
Yeah, plus minus 1.5 million.
Okay. And then again on the pipeline, we saw a decrease in overall from end of December to now end of March. Is this due to the, let's say, clean up process you mentioned, Mr. Eberhardt, or is there something else behind this?
It's two things. First of all, we had a good signing, so we overachieved even our budget. So the 52 million order entry, you need to deduct from the pipeline, and then we had a lot of exactly what I said. It was not an overall challenge. We had the challenge was that we had not introduced this mother opportunity. That means we had not a significant, but something like 25 deals doubled, and I think a couple of them even three times reported in the system because we engaged, for example, with Accenture, but we also engaged with Mishkoff and a partner and with an Indian player at the same time. And this does not make sense because this opportunity is only one time real. Yeah. So this is now changed. Now we have one mother opportunity, which goes in our pipeline. And then we have, let's say, three partners which are pointing to this opportunity, which gives us a different challenge because we have different sales team working on this to use the Chinese wall that's asked by the partners, not to lead information from one partner to the other, mm-hmm. which means okay we have now let's say a different process how we document the sales process partner by partner. And this was the main reason why we lost some of the let's say the pipeline.
Because last time you also talked about IBM and that they are very very strict to their customer base. So do you always have 100% clean up pipeline, or is there so that it's not 100% clear, but very clear.
I would say when I look today, a pipeline is never 100% clear because you will always, let's say you have what I can tell you is we have high discipline in how we handle our master data. So there is not, let's say, two opportunities because one time we use Lidl as a customer and the other time we use Schwarz as a customer, and both are the same opportunity. So this is all cleared up. We do not have doubled opportunities in anymore. But when you look to the pipeline, just as an example, the value of a deal will develop over the time, and you see this when you are long enough in an organization. You know which salesperson is more opportunistic and which salesperson is less opportunistic. So when you look to the unweighted pipeline, it depends on, okay, is this an opportunity? If I start an opportunity early and I have an opportunity, let's say, in qualify, my estimate could be, okay, this is a million. And the more conservative person said, okay, this is maybe only 500K, for example. Yeah? So this is something you need to look people by people. I think we have this good under control, but it is still a guessing because at the end you close it, you start with a million and you may end up with 1 to 2 million, or you may end up with 800K. That's normal that over the time the pricing will be more sharp, you get more feedback, you understand the budget of the customer and so on and so on. In principle, when I looked at, we do a lot of analytics here. We have a Tableau, very transparent reporting. Even let's say on country level, on opportunity, on offering level, and even on a personal level, and I personally, I'm since 30 years in this business, I would say we are best of class what you can do so far. And I never had a better sales reporting. The one thing is exactly what you just said. The scenarios are multiple, for example. That is one part we need to look at. When we do this carve out and merge to S4, or we do an move to S4, but we do an upgrade to S4, but in the same time we move to the cloud, I'm even not sure if they can select different scenarios in one opportunity, and then they need to split the amount. So this 1 million needs to be split. How much is S4 and how much is moved to the cloud? I'm not sure at the end if this is so useful. So we need to look at this, and we will come back to the next call. We will give you an update how we will handle this going forward.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions, and so I hand back to you, Mr. Marx.
Yes, thank you very much, operator. Thank you both, Maine and Michael, for the valuable insights you gave us. And of course, thank you as investors, analysts, participants on this call for your interest and your time. As you can see on our financial calendar, we will publish Q2 results in August, so still have some time until we meet again in that respect. But of course, in the meantime, we're always available for any questions or remarks you will have. Please do not hesitate to call. Investor Relations will take care of anything that you have. In that respect, thank you very much again. Have a nice rest of the day. And that concludes this call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.